Our next song will be a special. Thank you, sisters, for that inspiring and beautiful song. We've come to that moment now for which we've come. So I ask for your kind and your prayerful attention for our brother, Dwayne, as he brings to us the message of this evening. Brother Dwayne.
Thank you, Don. And thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. It truly is a beautiful song. The title of my sermon today is Follow Me. But when we say follow me, what does that really mean? Probably means different things to different people, doesn't it? I guess we first must know what the me is, or who me is. And really, everyone in this world follows some me, don't they? It may not be the one we're talking about, but they follow some me. And we know that this is the me generation where, especially in this nation, where people are self-satisfying and they pursue the things that make them happy. The things they want, not necessarily what the Lord wants for them. People follow their desires, don't they? They follow the desires of their hearts. But we know that this me that we are talking about is Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's Jesus Christ. That's who we are to follow. And not our own desires. And sometimes that can be difficult, can it? Especially in this world where we're pulled in all different directions. I asked for this song this evening, number 206 in the Green Book, titled Follow Me. First verse, it says, I hear my blessed Savior say, follow me, follow me, follow me. His voice is calling all the day, follow me, follow me, follow me. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, truly is calling out to us. He's calling out to each one of us to follow Him. But He gives us, we have our own free will, don't we? We can follow Him or not as we choose. We know that there are consequences if we follow Him or if we don't. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And these are Christ's words. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what is required. If we're going to come after him, if we're going to come after Jesus Christ, we must deny ourselves. Some of these things of the world that can lead us away, can lead us to destruction. Take up our cross, whatever that might be. It's going to be different for each one of us. But it says also, take up his cross daily. It's something we need to do every day. It's not something we just do on Sunday or on Wednesday. This is a lifelong thing for us, to follow Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to verse 57 in that same chapter. We'll read 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay, we have somebody who proclaims that he is willing to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we follow Jesus Christ, it must be first in our life. Above all things, there can be nothing else in our life that is as important. Because if we have other things that become more important than Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? We're going to follow after them. And they will become more important to us. It must be number one in our lives. We cannot put anything above our service to Jesus Christ. You know, when we follow Christ, it's a lifelong journey. It's one step at a time. You know, we don't go from the beginning of our spiritual life to the end in one giant leap. It's one step at a time, following after Jesus Christ. You know, the first time I went to Africa with my brother Brian, there were some people there along the road that were clearing a lot. And they were actually lowering it. And this lot was probably about the size of the grass area and the basketball court out here. An area about like that, just off the side of the road. But it was about 8 feet higher than the road. Well, somebody wanted to put a business in there or something, so they were clearing this lot. Now, can you imagine a piece of ground that size that's 8 foot high? And can you imagine two people with shovels and a wheelbarrow lowering that 8 feet? How long do you think that would take? What would we do in America? We'd bring in the heavy equipment, wouldn't we? We'd get that thing lowered. Well, these people that were lowering that lot, they had a piece probably about the size of just one side of these pews that was left, about 8 foot high, and they'd cleared all the rest of it with a wheelbarrow and two shovels. They would fill that wheelbarrow up and roll it down the road and dump it off into a gully. May have taken years, I don't know, one shovel full at a time. But they were making progress. They were about to get that lot cleared. But it can be the same way in our spiritual lives. As we're following Jesus Christ, it's one step at a time. And when we take that one step, we get stronger. We get closer to Him. And we can take that next step. But we must continually press forward, one step at a time. And over time, we will see results. We'll see great results. Many of you have heard the example of if somebody gives you a penny today, and then every day for the next 31 days, they double that penny. So the first day you get one penny, the second day you get two, the third day you get four. How much do you get? How much will they give you on the 31st day? Does anyone remember? Just doubling it. On the 31st day, they would give you $10,737,000. That's a lot of money, isn't it? But it took some time. After 10 days, almost one-third of the time, it was only $5.12. 20 days, almost two-thirds of the time, it was $5,242. But after 31 days, it was all the way up to $10 million. That can be the same way in our spiritual life if we're persistent. Sometimes it may start out slow. But if we keep pressing forward, keep following after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can get stronger and stronger and stronger. We can have that mighty faith, that humility, that righteousness. But we need to keep pressing forward. Let's turn to Alma, chapter 3. This is on page 317. Alma chapter 3, verses 62 through 68. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name doth he call you, which is the name of Christ. That good shepherd is calling out to each one of us. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now, if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? A question. Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. And now, who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. Seems strange to call the devil a shepherd, doesn't it? because we don't normally think of him as a shepherd. But he is an evil shepherd. And we know in this life that there are only two folds. The one of Satan and the one of Jesus Christ, who is that good shepherd. And if a man bringeth forth these good works in his life, he is following after that good shepherd. You know, I saw this in a magazine or something. It's an inevitable intersection on the road of life. We see that intersection a lot, don't we? It's not something we're just going to run into one time. That intersection is going to be before us a lot. Morally right and legally right. You know, there's a lot of people who fall into this category right here. They're doing things that are legally right according to the laws of the land. No punishment for them in this life. But they are not following after Jesus Christ. They are following after their own desires, the desires of their heart. Because just because it is legally right does not mean that it is morally right. That's the direction we need to be following. Those things that are morally right. That's what we need to do if we're going to follow after Jesus Christ. Because there is a difference, especially today, and especially in this nation. We're seeing more and more of this, aren't we? From the people in this nation. And less of this. I want to give you an example now of where Peter's faith was weak. This is the scripture that our brother Jay read Wednesday night at our prayer service. Matthew 14, verses 27 through 30. Matthew 14, 27 through 30. And this is where Jesus was walking on the water. And, you know, just a side note on this. I've heard some of the theologians today that have gone back to this area, and they have tried to disclaim this, that Christ really wasn't walking on water, that the area that he was in, there were some shallow spots, and there was probably some stones there that he was walking on. This is some of the things that are happening today, where they're trying to discredit all of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. But we know that this is real. We know that Jesus Christ was walking on water. We know that he can do anything. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So we see Peter was walking on the water also. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So we see that Peter was following Jesus Christ, wasn't he? He had a faith in him. He was going out to him. But what happened? His faith got weak, didn't it? When the wind came up, or for us, when the trials of life, when the temptations of life come into our lives, it can make us weak. And we can begin to sink just like Peter did on that water. We can begin to sink spiritually just like Peter was physically sinking on that water. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verses 10 through 16. This is on page 153. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at the last, at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines. Their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride, and they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing, and they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few which are the humble followers of Christ. We can see this very clearly today, can't we? We can see this happening to the world. We can see this happening to this nation. Save it be a few which are the humble followers of Christ. There are only going to be a few that are going to follow Jesus Christ. Only a few. We need to be sure that in our life that we are following Jesus Christ and that we're not being deceived by the things out there in the world, the things that may be legally right, but are morally wrong. You know, I saw a work. I get people send me emails, and this one email had a little video on it of Ma and Pa Kettle. How many of you know who Ma and Pa Kettle were? Quite a few, really. That kind of ages you a little bit, but in this little clip, it had this guy named Billy, and he was standing up before Ma and Pa Kettle, and the clip kind of started in the middle. But they had some money. I don't know if it was inheritance or they sold something, but he starts out and he says that Ma and Pa, you're going to get 75% of this money, and there's five other people there, and they will each get 5%. Now, according to Pa Kettle, that was not correct. These five people were going to divide up 25%, and they would each get 5%, according to Billy. Is that correct? Not according to Pa Kettle, it's not. Anybody else have any other answers? Well, this is some Pa Kettle math. This is the way he did his division. That probably comes back from something way back in the past. I don't know. Okay, five will go into five. Once. And five will go into 25, 14 times. Right? We have doubters? Okay. Let's try multiplication. Four times five is 20. One times five is five. Twenty-five. Are you starting to get on board? Still have doubters? Let's add it up. 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. How can you doubt? You've seen it in three, in multiplication, division, and addition. If you didn't know much about math, if you didn't know anything about math, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Pa Kettle is going to get cheated, isn't he? That's why we need to be aware of things in our life. To not be deceived. Because there are many people out there, many things that will try to deceive us. We must know and understand the truth and not be led away. Spiritually, one way that we can know that truth, by coming to church, by studying diligently. We need to have an understanding and a knowledge of what is right, what is true, what the desires that our Lord and Savior has for us in our lives. Let's turn over to Moroni, chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. This is on page 764. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is good inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good, and to love God, and to serve him, is inspired of God. We must follow those good things in life, those things that are inspired by our Lord. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil, and the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you that the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. It is given to us to know good from evil. All mankind, it is given to them to know good from evil. So what happens in life? What happens to so many people that are led away? They're following after another me, aren't they? They're following after another me than Jesus Christ. They're following after the desires of their heart. They're being led away by the temptations of Satan. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 8, verse 51. This is on page 652. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We have to remember that Satan is out there trying to destroy us. He's trying to lead us away. He's trying to separate us from God. That is his goal for all of us. That's what he wants. Satan wants no good thing for us. He wants to destroy each one of us. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive Behold, it shall be given unto you. Now I want to turn over to Moroni 7, verse 26. This is on page 766. A very similar scripture to what we just read. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. We see here that there's four things that are required for answered prayer. And we know that Satan is trying to destroy us. So prayer is an important part of our spiritual life. The first thing is that we have to ask the Father. We have to ask the Father. And we have to ask in Christ's name. That's the second thing. Ask the Father in Christ's name. And the third thing is you have to believe. We have to believe. We have to have faith. And the fourth thing, which is worded a little different here in these two scriptures, in 3rd Nephi, it says, which is right. And in Moroni, it says, which is good. So we have to believe that for prayer to be answered, that it has to be right and it has to be good. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, when we are endeavoring to follow after Jesus Christ, we are endeavoring to follow him. We have to be careful that we do not get discouraged when sometimes our prayers may not be answered. Because it may not be good and it may not be right. At least for that time. We know that God has his own time. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't always have an understanding of these things. But we know some things. If we have one of our elderly that is sickly, you know, we can pray and they can be healed. But there's going to be a time when we can pray that they will be healed and it's not going to happen. Because there is a time to die. And it would not be good or it would not be right that they would live on. But we need not be discouraged. We need to continue to pray diligently as we're seeking our Lord and Savior. Pray for everything in our lives. But we have to understand that not every prayer will be answered exactly the way that we want it to be. Because God understands all things, and we do not. We do not understand all these things. But we must know that our Lord and Savior is just. He is all righteousness. He is pure. And sometimes we have to accept these things in our life. We're not always going to understand everything. As long as we're living in this mortal life, there will be things that we will not understand. But we always need to continually press forward and not be discouraged. I want to read a couple of examples now of people that were following Christ. Let's start in 1 Nephi chapter 1 and verse 61. Now let's go to let me just tell you about this one. I won't take the time to read it. We know that that Lehi was told that to leave Jerusalem, wasn't he? And they left behind the records. We know that Laban had their records. And they wanted them for a wise purpose, didn't they? God wanted them to have those records. But this Laban was an evil man, wasn't he? And he was not going to give them those records. And they went back and they tried to get these records, and Laban absolutely would not give them to him and threatened to kill him. But Lehi and Nephi, they had faith, didn't they? They were following after what our Lord and Savior had told them to do. And we know that they went back, that Nephi went back there and found Laban drunk, didn't he? And the Spirit commanded him to kill him, didn't he? To cut off Laban's head. And those records were delivered into his hands. And he obtained those records. But they followed after the Spirit. They followed after the guidance that the Lord gave unto them, and those records were delivered unto them. But they followed that. They followed exactly what they were told to do. Did Nephi want to slay Laban? He certainly did not, did he? But he followed what he was commanded to do. Because if he hadn't slain Laban, he would have probably came after him. God knew that. God knew that and delivered him into his hands. Let's look at another example here in 1 Nephi chapter 5. Verse 10. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord spake unto my father by night, and commanded him that on the morrow he should take his journey into the wilderness. And it came to pass that as my father arose in the morning and went forth to the tent door, to his astonishment he beheld upon the ground a round ball of curious workmanship, and it was of fine brass. And within the ball were two spindles, and the one pointed the way whither we should go in the wilderness. That ball was prepared by God, wasn't it? To give them direction, that if they would follow after it the way it pointed, they would be led to the promised land, wouldn't they? Let's look at verse 20. And we did follow the directions of the ball, which led us in the more fertile parts of the wilderness. Verse 25. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of their sufferings and afflictions in the wilderness. And also my father began to murmur against the Lord, his God. Yea, and they all were exceeding sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord. Verse 34. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball, and they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed, which we gave unto them. So we see, when they had faith, and when they would heed these, and they were living in righteousness, it pointed them in the direction they were to go. Let's look at verse 190. And it came to pass that after they bound me, insomuch that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord did cease to work. And we know that Laman and Lemuel bound Nephi. Wherefore, they knew not whether they should steer the ship, insomuch that there arose a great storm, yea, a great and terrible tempest. And we were driven back upon the waters for the space of 3 days. And they began to be frightened exceedingly, lest they should be drowned in the sea. Nevertheless, they did loose me not. And on the fourth day, which we had been driven back, the tempest began to be exceeding sore. And it came to pass that we were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. And after that we had been driven back upon the waters for the space of 4 days, my brethren began to see that the judgments of God were upon them, and that they must perish, save that they should repent of their iniquities. So we see what happened in the first part here, when they were following, when they were righteous and following after the direction in this ball. But then when they began to murmur, it was no longer directing them, was it? It was no longer showing them the way to go. Let's look at verse 207. And there was nothing save it were the power of God, which threatened them with destruction, could soften their hearts. Wherefore, when they saw that they were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, they repented of the things which they had done, insomuch that they loosed me. And it came to pass that after they had loosed me, behold, I took the compass, and it did work whether I desired it. Verse 212, and it came to pass that after we had sailed for the space of many days, we did arrive to the promised land. It eventually directed them to the promised land, didn't it? But because of a lack of their faith for a time and their murmurings, it was not directing them at that time. We always need to be careful in our spiritual lives that we have that faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we are following after Him. Because just like in this example, when they were not following Him, they were falling away, weren't they? And it can be the same with us in our spiritual lives. We need to continually press forward and follow after our Lord and Savior. Let's look at 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. This is on page 161. And we'll see some other things here that we need to do if we are following Christ. Verses 12 through 16. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? We have to keep the commandments, don't we? That's part of following Him. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. Another requirement for following Christ, that we need to repent of our sins and that we need to be baptized in His name. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we do these things that our Lord and Savior has required of us, if we follow his commandments, if we repent of our sins and we are baptized, we will receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, that abiding comforter that will be with us all the days of our life. Part of what is required of us if we are going to follow after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Follow me, not me, not the things of this world, but we must follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.